On today's show, you get to meet breathwork guide Erin Collins. And she shares with us some breaths, some techniques we can do to release stress, heal, and return to wholeness. She also gifts us with some deeply personal and touching stories that depict the power of using your own breath and your intuition for healing.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.
Do you crave clarity and insight? Do you sense that your intuition is trying to tell you important things, but you have a hard time trusting it? Do you want access to your own internal wisdom and to understand how it operates so that you can guide your life in ways that are meaningful and satisfying? Well then, welcome. I'm glad you are here. I'm your host, Aimé Cartier. I've been a professional psychic since around 2007. I'm the author of the book Getting Answers, Using Your Intuition to Discover Your Best Life. I've been teaching others to understand and use their own intuitive and empathic abilities for more than a decade. Join me each week for true stories and tools that will inspire you to take seriously your own inner knowing, that internal sense that you have uniquely tailored to you and designed to not only set you on the roads that are best for you, but also help you avoid the ones that are treacherous. It's time for you to own your intuition. If you know me and my work, you know that my teaching revolves around very practical tools that you can use and that you can have access to anytime, anywhere. You don't need to have a crystal in your pocket or some essential oils on you. One of my all-time favorite decision-making tools is one that can be done with your breath. And for those of you listening today, if you are interested in that free download, I will put it in the show notes. So all of that is to say, I am so excited for today's conversation in which you get to meet Erin Collins. Erin Collins is a breathwork guide and sound healer on beautiful Vashon Island, where when she is not in the studio, you can find her homeschooling her three boys, gardening, and baking. Somatic practices like breathwork and sound healing are Erin's joy to share with the world, and she believes that when we can access and breathe through that which has harmed us, we can release it from our bodies and live in resonance with the goodness around us. I just love how you put that. So welcome, Erin.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today. I'm so happy to be here.
I am delighted to be in the studio with you. So exciting. As you know, when I have a guest, I like to first start out saying something that I love about them, about Erin, and then ask them to say something they love about themselves as a way to normalize that it is so good to love things about yourself.
Yes.
So one thing I love about you, Erin, is that you have this very gentle and accepting presence. You're like the softness of a stream. If you have ever put your hand in water and felt that silkiness of water and felt it come across your skin, that is how I experience your movement in the world. It's accepting and loving and gentle, yet powerful. It's beautiful.
Thank you. That chokes me up in all the best ways. Thank you. It feels so nice to hear. I love this practice. More of us need to engage in acts and moments of self-love. So thank you for the invitation.
Absolutely.
I love about myself my talent for creating inviting spaces. I really like to create an environment that captures all the senses to help people feel good and warm and nurtured and loved. And that's my great joy in, you know, parenting my boys, homeschooling them, creating a studio space on the island, or just having friends over for tea or dinner. I think that I have a gift for creating spaces.
Lovely.
Thank you.
Love it. So let's just dig right in, because we are here to talk about breath and how we can use it for healing today. So if you are a listener of my podcast, you know that I've been doing an antidote series. So over the last little bit, we have been digging into different antidotes for creating antidotes in this world. And what Erin is a specialist at, an expert at, is one of the lovely things that we carry with us all the time, our breath, which can be used for healing, obviously. So I would love to just hear you describe the magic of the breath.
Yes. Breathwork is an incredible tool for getting unstuck. And so since you're talking about creativity, for change makers in this world, which is so important, releasing our creativity, unleashing this beautiful gift to the world, requires us to get unstuck from places that feel like, you know, we're experiencing complete inertia, or we can't use our voice, or maybe we're afraid to use our voice. The change makers in this world need a release from that kind of like energetic stuckness. And I love that our breath is so magical in facilitating this release of maybe what's holding us back from creating, from expressing, from healing. And, you know, something that's so magical about it is that it can, like breath can calm us down, right? But our breath can also energize us. And I think when I came into breath work, that was my big, you know, surprise takeaway from it was, oh, not all breath practices are about calming down, right? Mm. Some breath practices are about activating the system, calling up creativity, calling out wounds, and giving them a big place to go to be released.
Yes, I love that. I love that so much. And part of the reason why I wanted to have you on is specifically because one of the things that I see in this world that we're living in right now with decisions that are being made by people in power is that it is activating a lot of fear in people. And the work that you do, one thing that I learned several years ago was that 20% of our information comes from our brain. The other 80% comes from our body. And breath work is something that allows us to work with our body and not only heal the parts that are afraid or release the parts that are afraid, but as I think is known, you and I certainly know this, probably some of our listeners know it, when you are in a response of fear, you actually have less solutions available to you.
Absolutely.
So I love this. Erin's going to teach us some breath work that we can do on the show today. And I love this idea so much, especially because it is something that we can gift our bodies to move through this time with. And not only for healing and just for balance and regulation, but also to give us access to that more solution piece of ourselves when we find ourselves in narrow-minded thinking or being afraid or any of those things.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you nailed it with that, right? That there's so much wisdom in our bodies that can be so hard to access when all of our processes around decision-making are so cognitive, right? There's this deep wisdom in our bodies that we forget is there. And I mean, the breath is a perfect example of this process that's always happening, right? Whether we're thinking about it or not, the breath is there. Otherwise, you know, we don't wake up in the morning, right? So we just have this magically, you know, intelligent, innate process going on in our bodies at all times. I think when we can harness that breath and change it, we can invite the body to have a chance to speak for a change, that the mind can take a quiet moment, trust that the body does hold wisdom that it wants to express. Mammals have, you know, such unique processes for releasing, you know, these kind of fight or flight residual hormones that need a place to go. And because our brains tell us, you know, oh, that looks weird, or that sounds weird, or that's not dignified, don't do that, we sometimes deny our body what it needs. So I love that during the breathwork practice, like, we kind of override the brain's, you know, judgmental talk and just give the body a chance to be a little mammal again, to do the things that mammals love, to, you know, release big energy in a healthy, safe way.
Exactly. So this is an exciting thing to talk about. And I'm going to invite Erin in a little bit to give us some breath tools that we can use right now to help ameliorate. But before we do that, can you tell us a little bit about, I think it's interesting to find out, how did you get into this work? What drew you to it?
Yeah, absolutely. I went into the mental health field. That was my college background. It was pretty science heavy. So, you know, pretty all cognition all the time, right? And after college, I went to work in a psychiatric unit that, you know, is very much about medication management. It's very much a crisis setting, right? Mm-hmm. And it's really important. That's incredibly important work. But I realized I wanted to work a little further upstream before, you know, things had gotten to that point. So I went to work for a company that trained other mental health professionals in a type of cognitive behavioral therapy called DBT, dialectical behavior therapy, which is kind of this beautiful marriage of cognitive behavioral therapy and mindfulness techniques. Mm. So that was my first introduction to mindfulness, and boy, what a game changer for me. I'd never had practices like that before in my life. And it was really uncomfortable for me to sit still and engage in mindfulness practices. But what drew me to it was, there's a tremendous opportunity to ground that comes from just engaging the senses and realizing I'm safe in this moment. And this idea of, you know, communicating safety to yourself, that was new to me. So that was, you know, the path that I was interested in following. Shortly after that, I started having children. And so I did need to give up that job because it involved a lot of travel. And I'm always happy to have made that decision. But, you know, as you know, nothing turns your world upside down more than becoming a parent.
Agreed.
While I loved that so much, you know, there's some anxiety that comes with that. You have this person that you're responsible for the first time. And when my oldest son was 2 years old, he contracted E. coli. And he got very sick. He ended up on life support, and we didn't think he was going to make it.
That's so scary.
It was a really scary time. And, you know, he was sick from something that I fed him. And, you know, as much as, of course, this was an accident, who would have known, who could have guessed? It hurt my confidence as a mom.
Totally understandable.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, then you do get to take him home from the hospital, but you're like, feel like they're this ticking time bomb. Like, oh no, what decisions do I make next? So talk about shutting off your intuition, right? It's like, okay, now I'm looking all the time for sources outside of me to tell me how to do this.
Right. And you're in that place, to come back to where we started, where you're actually, you don't have access to as many solutions because you're just in fight or flight, which is a normal mammal response.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you for making that connection. So, you know, it took a little while for me to realize, you know what, I'm going to go to therapy for this. I've, you know, suffered a traumatic event. I'm going to go find someone to talk to.
Absolutely.
And I'm so grateful that I did. But during the course of that work with my own therapist around my, you know, what I like to call mom guilt on steroids, it was one of my sessions where he asked me, well, I hear you saying that, but where does that land in your body? How does that feel in your body? That I went, oh, yeah, I've gotten so disconnected from my own body, from, you know, from what this experience feels like inside of me, that I knew I needed to go seek out some somatic practices, some, you know, body practices to reconnect, you know, my mind and body again. I tried a lot of things and then one day stumbled upon breath work. Mm. I did my first breath work session and I was changed. I was like, this is it. When people talk about feeling vibrations or feeling energy in their body, that was my first, you know, real experience with going, aha, I know what that means now. And it feels good and it feels powerful. Mm. So from there, there was no turning back. Breathwork became a really normal part of my routine. And I realized, man, I knew that, you know, like hospital level patient care was never going to be in my future. But boy, this is a good fit. This is a great fit for my personality, my skill set, and my love of, you know, mental health and freedom of expression.
Yeah, perfect. Well, I can second that. I've been in Erin's group sessions that she does on the island, and we'll finish the talk today with talking about some of the stuff that she offers. So you know how you can get in touch with her. Just confirming that from my perspective, this is a great fit for you. I felt in great hands and I've loved the work that I've done with you, the breath work.
Thank you. It's an honor to do this work. And when people, you know, trust me to come alongside them for this work, I've worked as a birth doula as well. Mm. And there are so many similarities, right? Coming alongside someone who's just really in their body. Really,
yeah, totally.
You know, feeling that power, breathing through incredible sensations. And I mean, really, it's called breath work for a reason, right? Like there's some work involved in it. There's some labor. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like when I am doing my own breath work session, it's the most like powerfully mammal that I have felt since giving birth. And how amazing to feel that way. Yeah. Without all the pain.
Totally. That's perfect. Yes.
I'll take it.
Very good. Something you want. I love it. Okay. So I'd love to know, I mean, you touched on your own journey in terms of this and how you got into it and how you turned toward it. But do you have a story from either yourself or a client about how they used breath work to heal that you could share?
Yeah, absolutely. I can, you know, tell you from my own experience, it was this like reconnection to the power that lived within me and to a sensation of having power. Mm. And I think, you know, so often we can be trained to feel powerless, or to not trust that what we're feeling is real, not be trained in our society to stop believing that we have the ability to make good decisions, that has to come from somewhere outside of us. Mm. So, you know, I've always had a sense of feeling like great power in these sessions.
Mm.
And then just great peace at the end of them.
Like, so good. Yeah. I love this so much because I really feel like understanding how powerful we are is so lacking, like in most of the things that we are exposed to in our lives right now, just the traditional routes of public school and all these kinds of things. And then you get a job and then you do. And I find that in my own work, I see time and time and time again, how people don't understand how powerful they are. And I mean, it's part of why I do this show, because everybody has intuition. I'm never giving anybody anything. Even in my teaching and my programs, I'm not giving anybody intuitive skills. I'm just showing them how they already exist and giving them practices that help them tune into them. And so I love this idea with accessing that feeling of power when you're doing breath work, because it's so true that we're all so powerful, and yet it's something that we tend to forget. And there just aren't a lot of access points to that recognizing.
Yes. And, you know, having worked with you before, Aimee, like, I feel like what you have offered me, you know, is it's like a roadmap back to ourselves. You know, I love that you're saying I didn't give you something you didn't already have. Right. But it's like you just kind of showed us the way back to, hey, did you forget that you're intuitive?
Totally.
Yeah. Just like leading us right back home to that place that always existed. I love that about your work.
Thank you so much. Yeah. So beautiful. Erin has been a student in my programs before, so.
Good programs they are. And yeah, I've had, you know, other clients talk about having maybe visions during their breathwork journey of maybe somebody who's already passed, maybe feeling like they got to tie up a loose end. One person talked about feeling like they saw the book of their life, like pages turning before their eyes, and they just started taking out pages that they're like, I'm done with that part now.
I love it.
I love that too, because I sometimes think of our minds as having like this tape on repeat, right? This tape is probably made of, you know, our education, our family of origin, maybe some trauma narratives, some different things that have happened throughout our lives. And maybe that tape is telling us a limiting story.
Totally.
Right? It's like, oh, you know, you can't trust yourself, or you won't make a good decision, or, you know, you won't be good at X, Y, Z. That tape is not true, right? That tape can be removed. And here I'm talking about, you know, cassette tapes. You can tell I was, you know, born in a different generation, right? But that is, you know, what I envision is just hitting the eject button, removing the cassette tape, putting in a new one. Breathwork is a great practice for that because our brain does take a break. Our brain does get to finally be quiet for a while, silence that tape, expel something, and then replace it with something different.
Totally. I love it. So I've always been interested in brain, mammal brains and neuroscience and these things. So in any case, one of the ideas that really has moved me and struck me is that the nervous system does not speak in language. So I love this. And when I heard this, when I understood this, it made so much sense to me, and also sense in terms of what we're talking about breath work, because you don't necessarily have to have a narrative in order to make huge healing or progress on something, or release pages like your client was saying, like tearing out the pages of part of the book that is not interesting anymore or is finished. And what you do in terms of breath work to me seems like a tool for allowing the body to release, to heal, to come back to balance, to all these things. And it doesn't have narrative, which sometimes is just so freeing, where you're like, yes. Who cares? You don't have to rehash the story. You can just breathe it out and release and get the healing,
yes,
without the, and then she said, or whatever. Okay. So this seems like a good moment to have Erin introduce us to a couple of these breaths, something that will be healing for us, obviously, during this moment in time, but also just any time, right?
Yes.
In life, this is evergreen. Your breath is always there. So no matter when you are listening to this, Erin's wisdom and these breaths can guide us. So if you wouldn't mind giving us a couple of breaths, 1 to 2, and then tell us anything we need to know about doing this breath before we begin. So if we're going to go into it right now, and then, yeah, just great. Let us know what we need to know ahead of time.
I'd love to. And these are both breath techniques that I use, you know, in an individual session or a group with clients. So actually they're ones that you're familiar with. But the first breath I like to teach is a calm down breath. This is one for, yeah, getting us back into that parasympathetic state, that rest and digest state. So it can be useful any time of day. It can be wonderful after a meal, right? It's called rest and digest for a reason, right? Like calm the system down, help your digestion. I use it when I'm starting to get frustrated.
Okay.
I use it in the ferry line. I think we all know. If you live on the island and you're listening, you know about the ferry lines. And it's just a really good practice for chilling out kind of a frazzled system. So it's called the honeybee breath. And it's so simple. We're just going to be breathing in and out through our nose. When we exhale, we'll be just resting the tip of the tongue behind the, you know, the front teeth, kind of on the roof of the mouth, and releasing the exhale with a soft hum. Our body loves to hum. It loves to sing. That vibration in our throat is so relaxing and opening. And we have this cranial nerve that runs down our neck right and into our trunk, our vagus nerve. And that nerve loves for us to hum and sing. It helps tone it. And the vagus nerve is responsible for helping to like calm down our respiratory rate and our heart rate. So having a well-toned vagus nerve is always going to serve you in finding that place of rest again. So we'll try that honeybee breath together, just in through the nose and out through the mouth with the tongue just resting softly against the front teeth. It's going to sound something like this. Starting to join into this breath. It's such a wonderful invitation to softness and calmness. I also like to pair it. I know you can't see me right now, but I like to pair it with kind of crossing our arms over the front of our body and rhythmically patting our shoulders.
Okay.
And maybe even rocking our bodies back and forth while we do the exercise.
Go ahead.
I think gathering those three things together, that soft humming breath, a little bit of padding, and a little bit of rocking, is just this wonderful gift to our nervous system. There's a reason that babies love to be rocked and padded. It's soothing to a mammal body. So, yeah, whether you're a pet or an infant or a grown woman in your 40s, this practice feels good.
So good. Okay, will you lead us in like at least four more of these breaths? So if you are at home and you probably heard Aaron started and then I joined in, but I would love to do like at least four more. Or what is the number that you feel like? Is four good?
Sounds wonderful.
Okay, let's do four more all together. So Aaron is leading us in this breath, and then you can't see us, but we're in the studio with our arms crossed and doing like a gentle pat on our shoulders.
Rocking our bodies back and forth if that feels good. All right, so let's rest the tongue against the front teeth on the roof of the mouth softly. Let's inhale through our nose and release on a hum. That you notice that your heart rate has decreased a bit. You may have also noticed that the note you hit on that hum actually dropped a little. And that happens as our throat starts to relax and to open up a little bit more. We actually hit kind of a deeper note, if you will. And that's always a good indication to me that the relaxation is happening.
Perfect. Note to self at home.
Yes. And you know, it's funny, my kids know now, like if mom disappears into the bathroom and is humming, she probably needs some time to herself.
That's such a nice cue that they have instead of mom is about to blow her lid.
Well, sometimes that happens too. Yes, but I think we spoke earlier, right, about this idea of like man, I don't want to like unleash the anger on the people who deserve it the least. And so I find that doing the honeybee regularly throughout the day, just when I have like a minute or two to myself, or pair it with like going in to use the restroom or whatever, this is just like a really nice recentering moment of my day so that I come back to remembering who I am.
I love it. I love it.
What would you like me to get into?
Yeah, tell us. Yes, a juicier breath.
All right. So I, you know, I mentioned earlier that the type of breath work that I guide people in is more of an upregulating practice. The type of breath work I lead is sometimes you'll hear it referred to as transformational breath work.
Okay.
And sometimes as conscious connected breath work. I love both of those words. And I think they're both true. Either your, you know, conscious connection and you're going to see some transformation. So I love both the names. So this breath is inviting the nervous system to activate a bit, but we're doing this in a safe environment where the tissues of the body, you know, maybe they are going to remember something, right? Maybe they are going to remember a different time that something was activated, something didn't feel good, something didn't feel safe. This time we're going to be in a safe environment to get to kind of complete that cycle and release what was living there in those tissues in like a really safe, contained way.
Love it.
Certainly not going to have us do like a full breath work session now, but I would like for you to maybe play for a second with what this breath feels like.
Okay.
And then I will invite you, you know, on my website, there is a 9-minute practice that you can download there if you want to play with it a little bit further and see how it lands for you. But since this breath is pretty active and it's going to change our state a little bit, I would want you to practice this lying down so that you don't fall over. I don't want anyone to fall over. So if you do want to practice this with us, you know, I would have you find a place, you know, maybe pause here, find a place to lie down. So the active breath, it's deceptively simple. You're going to think, wait, how does that get me into an altered state of consciousness? But what we're going to be doing is this three-part breath. We're going to be pulling air in through our mouth instead of our nose, which is like a big no-no in breathing world, right? Everybody's, you know, talking about closed mouth, sleeping. My husband's taping his mouth closed at night so that he doesn't mouth breathe. But for this practice, we are going to breathe through our mouth. We're going to pull air in to our belly space, and then we're going to do a second inhale to pull air into our heart space, our chest space, and then we're going to release the whole thing.
Okay.
So we're going to inhale first into our belly space. It's going to sound like this. We're going to inhale into our heart space and then release the whole thing. And if you're doing this along with me, you're going to notice you're starting to get a tickle in your throat. Cough that out. Let it out. But as we're doing this type of breath practice, we're inviting in maximum amount of air and big energy.
Okay.
So, you know, if this breath sounded confusing, I would definitely go to the website and, you know, download that little 9-minute practice.
Absolutely. It's perfect. Okay. So it didn't personally, I mean, I am in the studio with you, but it wasn't confusing. And I like what you're saying and I could tell the difference. I didn't do the breath with her this time because I'm not laying down, but I could tell the difference in the two different breaths in and then the releasing breath. So Erin has this free download. It's 9 minutes long and you can, we'll put a link to it in the show notes so you can find it and do it and see if you want to breathe along with her. Otherwise, the practice itself. So would you, if you were doing this at home and you did this, what do you call this breath that we just did?
The three-part breath, the active breath.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you did this three-part or active breath at home, would you finish it with the honeybee breath when you were finished? Or what would you do as a completion?
That's a really good question. You know, I find that at the end of a big breathwork session, because believe it or not, during a full breath work session, you're going to be doing that breath pattern for about 22 to 28 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's and I mean, you've done this practice with me before, but it doesn't seem that long.
No, it doesn't at all. That's why I'm like, whoa.
You know, it's kind of like childbirth at the end of the day. You're like, really? That went on for that long?
30 hours just went by?
I've totally lost track of time. But at the end of, you know, that active breath session, people are so relaxed that you kind of don't need the honeybee breath anymore. At that point, you go into like a shavasana as you would at the end of a yoga class, right? So I have people just laying flat, integrating the experience, just kind of like basking in the joy of having reconnected to body, released heavy things, and you just feel like a wet noodle at the end of it. But at the end of a breath practice like that, I really do have people lay for about, you know, 15 to 20 minutes after that and just integrate the experience and relax. There's soft music playing. It's a much deserved rest at the end of breath work.
Perfect. Okay. So that kind of gives me, that was one of my questions is what, I had two different questions of one, what might somebody expect in your group sessions? Because if you are on Vashon, you can come, I think it's twice a month. Is that more or less twice a month that you do, that Erin does group sessions of this? And that was one of my questions. Like, can you tell us how that would work so that if people are interested, they would know what to expect? And then my other question was, how does your private sessions work? And I know Erin works in person and also via Zoom. So wherever you are in the world, you can get a session with Erin. But is this sort of a, can you give us a rundown of that?
A little preview of what it looks like. So yeah, if you came to do an individual session with me, we're going to set aside about 90 minutes to 2 hours because we're going to do an intake at the beginning of it so that I can find out, what does a safe container look like for you? How much interaction with me do you want? And we're going to do some time to just talk about what's been going on, you know, what's been going on for you that's brought you to me. And I find that even just the act of being able to talk about what's happening already starts to kind of open up that throat chakra, right? Open up the pathway for truth-telling and getting things a little bit unstuck.
Totally.
Yeah. And so that gives me just an indication of how you want to be worked with and how you want to be interacted with during this time. Because breathwork can feel, you know, like you're climbing a mountain. And what's useful to you, right? Like, do you want a drill sergeant next to you? Like, come on, you can, you know, keep going. Or do you want like a motherly presence? Do you want somebody there, you know, holding your hand, stroking your hair? Like, what feels good to you in those moments? So we can establish the container and the boundaries for the work. And then we go into some instruction in what the breath is going to look like, a nice long grounding practice. And then we start the breath. And like I said, it goes about 22 to 28 minutes.
Of the active breath.
Of the active breath. And then a nice long rest and a debrief afterward. I sometimes find that I can't remember what I was thinking during a breath work session, right? Like the mind's kind of gone offline.
Yeah.
But occasionally there will be this blip that comes to me during it where I'm like, I want to remember this later. So you can shout out to me, like, remember such and such. I can write it down for you. Sometimes coming out of breath work is like waking up from a dream where you're like, oh, I have these little pieces of it and I want to hang on to something. I keep a notepad next to my bed for that purpose. And then I wake up with some really weird notes on my notepad. So during, you know, an individual breath work time together where it's, you know, over Zoom or in person, I can kind of help you keep track of those things if that happens. So during a group breath work session, it's still really potent and powerful work. And healing in community like that is, I think, really beautiful and really special because we live in community, so
totally.
You know, may as well heal in community as well. So I keep those groups kind of small and intimate so everybody has enough room to really spread out. And there won't be, you know, a personal intake as much as we would during an individual session, but there will be, you know, a little bit of background, why breath work, what's it for, some instruction. Similarly, we'll do a grounding exercise. Everybody will, you know, lay on their mats on the floor. We'll still do the same, you know, 22 to 28 minutes. I have a nice, you know, you've experienced it, a nice loud playlist going, because I find that helps people feel more comfortable when, you know, if you want to make some noises during your session, if you want to, you know, let out a big lion's breath, if you want to cry, you can do those things and feel like you're kind of in your own sound bubble.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
And then, yeah, same, you know, Shavasana time to relax and integrate the experience. And then, you know, just a sweet goodbye and a reminder to, like, take really good care of yourself. Be really kind to yourself after breath work, because it is work, but really good work and really brave and powerful work. I mean, I'm always so proud of people when they come to the table and commit to, like, working on themselves so that we're not handing our wounds off to other people as though they're someone else's to deal with.
Beautiful.
You know, and I love, because you call your podcast, you know, a change makers podcast, one of the changes that we can make in our world and for ourselves is to address healing our wounds. Our, you know, maybe these are ancestral wounds. Maybe this is the way our family has always done it, but it's not working. And maybe we don't want to hand it down to the next generation, to our kids. And so I'm always so proud of the people who come into my studio and commit to, hey, I'm going to work on my own wounds before I make them someone else's problem.
Totally. I love it. And I can say, from having experienced Erin's group session, it's so safe. I felt so safe. And I'm sure I know I was crying, like, for sure I was crying. I can say for certain. And I feel like other people were having releases too. And there is an air of, I don't know, it's just like all okay. Like, there's no weirdness. It really is. And you would think, I guess if you were looking at it, if you hadn't experienced it, you might think, well, that might be kind of weird. Because I had an idea what breathwork was and had done some before. So I knew, wow, this could be crazy doing this in group. And yet, I think one of the things I really appreciated was that it really had this vibe of normalcy to be connected with your animal body, to allow it to release in whatever way it feels right for you. And you're so in your own, from my perspective, I was so in my own thing. I don't even care. Like, I have no idea what other, you can peripherally hear maybe, but I have no care, concern, whatever, about anyone else and what they're doing, because you're totally into your own body. So I think it's a special kind of a thing to be able to create a container that can hold several people in this deep healing work. And so I just want to applaud you for that, because it felt very safe and very just so useful, like, really useful, I think.
Thank you. Well, I love to be in a room full of people healing in that way. I mean, I get juiced from it too, because I'm like, look at all these brave people showing up. Look at my community here healing and being open to it. It's so exciting. You know, and there are so many breath practices out there that people can utilize, right? So this type of breath work that I do isn't the only thing out there. And I showed you, you know, the honeybee breath earlier. There's, you know, there's all kinds of box breathing and, you know, 478 exercises. All of them are good. Wim Hof exercises. All this stuff is just so good for us, because it's this, like, free, accessible, anytime, anywhere tool that we can always access.
Totally.
And we can use them in different situations, right? Different breath for a different situation.
So good. Totally true. Okay, so Erin and I have talked about this before, and actually this was happened in your life just before you studied with me. And so the intro to this is, you had a situation in your life that was so intense, and I'll just maybe briefly describe it. Does that work for you? Okay. So both of your parents died within 2 days of one another. And the thing that was so incredible and intense to me about what you went through was that your mother died, and then within 2 days, your father died. But not only were you dealing with your mother's death, you were also the decision maker for your dad going into the hospital and doing these things. And so that's, I mean, anybody listening can imagine what an unbelievably intense moment in a life that would be. And so the reason why we're bringing it up is because I actually also feel that even though this is Aaron's story and we're not, none of us are necessarily living that same story, it's such a good example of really intensity that we might experience, that we might be experiencing now with the state of the world. Mm-hmm. And I would love to hear you talk a bit about, you were mentioning that these tools are good for different times. So
yes,
give us
let's get into that. So during the, you know, intensity of, you know, caring for two people that have cancer, you know, what I needed was calm down opportunities, right? Every day is a fight or flight experience when you're in that situation.
Totally.
And unfortunately, I'm sure a lot of your listeners probably have been a caregiver for someone with cancer. It's, you know, increasingly in common in our world. So those days where it just felt like everything was crumbling around me, what a gift it was to disappear into the bathroom for a couple of minutes and do the honeybee breath, to hug myself, to pat myself, to rock back and forth, and to just experience a couple minutes of bodily safety, right? And just have a little bit of a release of noise, you know, just that little humming. Mm-hmm. Just felt like, okay, for 2 minutes, it gets to be about me centering my body, remembering who I am, remembering that I'm safe. And at the end of that, I could go back as a better caregiver to the people who needed me.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's a good access point for reconnecting to our intuition, because sometimes when you find yourself in that situation, you are going to have to make some really difficult decisions. And I did with my dad. My parents had, they had received their cancer diagnosis a month apart.
My gosh.
But everything went really fast after that. It was 3 weeks after that,
that
both of them passed away. So it was a whirlwind. And I was the medical power of attorney and making those decisions at the end there. And both of them wanted to hospice at home, but we couldn't. I got to a point where I couldn't safely take care of both of them at home. And so I did have to make the difficult decision that that my dad would go to the hospital where he would be safer and better cared for than what I could provide at home. But that wasn't what we had talked about back in the beginning. And it was a bad feeling to know that I wasn't giving him exactly what we had talked about, but just having to pivot and make a good decision
We
realized, you know what? What we talked about isn't going to work anymore.
Nobody was expecting this to happen so suddenly and the deep need of care very suddenly for both.
And,
absolutely.
And his hospice just looked different than my mom's. His liver was failing and it was a very different situation and it just wasn't that safe anymore. And so we have to be able to trust our intuition in those moments. And but at the end of that, it doesn't mean even when you have used the tools well, even when you have trusted your intuition and done the best you can, it doesn't mean there's not residual guilt or regret at the end of the experience. And for me, of course there was. So at the end of that, when there is some stuckness, some wishing that things had gone differently, breathwork was a really good tool for having a place to go with that angst, with that anger. I mean, some of it was just plain old anger at how unjust it felt. And breathwork is a very safe container for releasing anger. Nobody's going to be hurt by that in the container of breathwork. And anybody who has gone through tremendous grief, you know that's one of the stages and one that we come back to over and over again, right? Because these are not linear, these stages of grief. So breathwork was a fine companion for helping me through kind of those angry moments afterward.
Totally. So I think it's just, I just want to say why I feel like this story is so potent for all of us, because I feel like just listening to what you went through, it's not something anybody would ever wish to go through. And I feel like if Aaron can sit here and tell us about the power of breath and how she used it during a situation that is so extreme and so intense and so heart-wrenching, then we all have the ability to use this miraculous thing as our breath and the releasing in order to help us heal. Yes. And it puts it in perspective, I think, to talk about some of the intensity, even though it is hopefully not a situation that any of us listening is going to experience. But I want to put it in that context because I really feel like this isn't quite the right word, but like it's a warrior's moment.
Yes.
And if you were able to use your breath to help you heal through, and obviously it's ongoing, as we know, it's not just like one and done.
One and done.
That's fine. Okay, I'm done now. But I just feel like it really shows the potency of this tool.
Yes. And you know, I believe anyone can do it, and it's available to everyone.
Totally. Just you're so breathing
accessible.
Right now.
Yes.
Everyone here is breathing right now.
You know, and being able to get kind of unstuck through breath work sets the stage for, you know, all these other wonderful forms of meditation that are out there. And I know at the end of, you know, my journey, seeing my parents off into, you know, whatever was next for them, I was lucky enough to use your core four skills to meditate and, you know, have maybe some quieter meditation and, you know, that kind of meditation would remember more afterward what has happened.
Right, right.
And I'm so, you know, grateful for the work that you offered me during that time, because I know we've talked about this before and I'm happy to share it again, that I did get to have the experience during that type of meditation of feeling my dad beside me and having him tell me, like, I forgive you. It's okay. You know, there was nothing else to do in that moment. And I felt like, you know, that wound was able to be healed. And we don't necessarily get to, you know, to experience that type of meditation and that type of peace if we haven't first, like, gotten ourselves unstuck to a point where we can even invite that in, where we can sit still with a practice like that.
Understood. I hear exactly what you're saying. Okay, so if I can just recap here, what I hear that you're saying is like it was the breath work that opened the door for you to start processing and get unstuck from all of this trauma, frankly, of just this whole situation. And then it was the core four, and you, because you had done that, because you were working with your body, because you were using the tools that you have, using the tools that you learned from me, this core four is something that I teach my students in my longer programs. And, it allowed you to have this experience of harmony and healing and even a visit from your father. I remember that when in our class, Aaron shared that this had happened, and it was so...
Oh, it was the whole world to me. It really was.
That's so beautiful. Beautiful.
Difference between lifelong regret and just closing the circle and knowing that all is well.
That's so beautiful. So beautiful. Okay. So time is marching forward and it is time for us to conclude our conversation.
And yeah, if I can just leave you with one
please
thought here, it would be that your body knows how to ride the waves of whatever comes your way. And it may have just been silenced by an overactive mind for too long. So breathwork is a really good tool for getting our brain to take a break, let the body speak for itself for a change. Our bodies love to talk. And when they go too long without that opportunity, sometimes they start to scream. So I hope that you'll find a way to give your body an outlet before it gets to that point.
Thank you, Aaron. And what I want to leave you all with is Erin's website, of course, and just a reminder that not only can you find out how to book there with her, private sessions and Skype, that's like another age, whatever. I don't even know what you use, but that felt like a throwback from 10 years ago.
I talked about cassette tapes earlier.
Yeah, okay, so. Okay.
We're full circle moment. Yeah.
So you can do a Zoom session or a session like that with Erin, or if you're in person on Vashon, you can also see her there. And also on her website is the link to the group sessions, so you can find out when those are. And I highly recommend Erin's work. So her website is resonancevashon.com. So that's resonancevashon.com. And as a reminder, she has a free download there where you can do 9 minutes of breathing with her to investigate and see how wonderful this tool is. So, Erin, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for sharing your stories with us.
Thank you. Thanks for listening and for your time today.
Thank you.
Mwah. Thank you, Amy. Thank you, everyone.
All right. Remember, you are not alone. We are here together. Oh, my love. This is Amy Cartier, and you have been listening to the Intuition for Changemaker show with my guest, Erin Collins. Wasn't that great? I hope it makes you remember how immensely powerful you are and how so much is available to you through your own breath. If you want more tools for owning your intuition, you can find out all the details about my work at amycartier.com. All my love.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.